Highland Park gang.
I don't know.
You run them off?
I don't know.
You tried?
I had a meeting with them. I made fun of them a lot. But. What's the difference between sea salt and regular salt?
About 49 cents a pound.
Sea salt.
It's
got minerals in it and less sodium.
Has what?
It's minerals.
Oh.
And it's also got less sodium. It's better for you.
I care not.
We discussed that this morning.
What?
We discussed that very concept this morning.
What concept?
Of the fact that you don't care whether people show up.
Last night I watched a program that I'd seen once before a long time. It was called Criminal Minds. Has anybody ever seen that?
Oh, yeah. Watch it every week.
Did you watch it last night?
It was a rerun, so I'm sure I've seen it. Which one was it?
It was about a guy that was a special forces soldier in Mogadishu, part of that Delta Force. But went in to rescue those guys. And he, just before he was taken out, I mean rescued, he shot a 10 or 11 year old boy because the kid was standing behind his partner with a gun pointed at his head and about to pull the trigger. And he got up behind him and did that and broke his neck. And he got back to life, civil life, and he was, you know, obviously affected by it, the post-traumatic stress syndrome. And he couldn't stand loud noises, and he had nightmares and all that. But his truck broke down on his way to work, and he got into this construction zone where they were blowing up buildings, and, you know, to, was in, I think, in Houston, Fifth Ward. And so when he heard this building blow up, he reverted back to being in Mogadishu. And he was highly trained, so he was a special, you know, and so he was able to hide in the sewers or wherever. And he became a serial killer because he was, every time he thought he was back in Mogadishu, that's the way he viewed the world. And he, you know, because it sounded just like a war zone because of the buildings being blown up and the jackhammers and all that. And he, when he saw a person near a child, he saw back then, you know, he saw it as his experience in Mogadishu, so he did everything he could to protect the child, even though there was no harm being done. He saw it as harm. And he killed three or four people. And they finally got his partner and that he was in Mogadishu with, and they he had stolen a walkie-talkie, and they set up to call him back, you know, and they were going to rescue him and all that. And just as they were going to rescue him, his partner was talking to him and making him believe he was safe. He saw another child walk toward him, and he thought that the child was in danger. And he went to try to protect the child, and the sniper shot him. And it was hit. The reality that he saw was the, it's what he saw as real, because of the stress put him back in that position. And there's nothing that could be done to calm, to make him think and not see that. And all he wanted to do was be saved out or get rescued out of that place. And you know, obviously, it's a metaphor for if we have any integrity for what our life is. Because as we look around.
Eric, is that on? I thought you said it wasn't on a minute ago, and that's a bit bothering you.
As we look around, we see what we have been conditioned and taught to see instead of seeing as Christ sees, or seeing as God sees, or in other words, confessing the Lord Jesus. We can't possibly look around and see that it's finished. We think that we are in a survival mode. And so we have to do all these things. We can't possibly believe that all we have to do is rest and be at peace and see that we're connected to the first source, and there's never a reason to be anxious or upset. And so even in our daily lives, when we have things we think we need to do, or an emotional response to somebody, or we think somebody should be different than they are, then what we are doing is we are, instead of seeing the world through the eyes of the kingdom of God, we are seeing the world through the eyes of this, in essence, a war zone where we have to protect ourselves and defend our. And it's the question then remains is how then do we, how does God pull people out of that environment? To me it was an incredible metaphor for what the kingdom of God is about versus the kingdom of what we see. We don't physically murder, maybe, but we murder spiritually all the time. We instantly, when someone interrupts our agenda that we have or something that we think we should do, then we instantly revert to this what we see, and it seems totally real to you. Totally, completely real. And in fact, you think that someone that doesn't respond that way is strange, is an alien. It revealed to me, anyway, in some really deep level, how difficult it is for God to pull his people out of the war zone. Because, and all it takes is, you know, to open your eyes. But your eyes are blinded by this false reality. And so I just bawled like a baby for about a half hour, because it was mind blowing in terms of its power.
This whole story you told talks about redemption. You know, he had killed this one kid, so to get redemption, he protects kids from then on. And that power, I think that's what a lot of the power was in him, was to be redeemed by, you know.
Right, it's self-redemption.
Yeah, exactly. But that carries over to what we do. What are we doing to be redeemed?
And that's what I mean.
Who would we kill to redeem ourselves?
Well, I mean, I can tell you how many people are going to be killed by you today. What?
Well, you're going to hate this, but you brought in the current metaphors. In
in The Matrix, the movie The Matrix, the way that they get tipped off that the reality is not reality is when something repeats, or there's a glitch in the system, and it's like, whoa, what happened? What just happened to reality? There's a couple other movies, the same kind of thing, where it's an imagined or a created reality, and there's some a pattern repeats, or there's some kind of problem with it. And that's my experience. You say, how does God pull his people out? What has happened in my life is repeating patterns and glitches. It's like, whoa, what is? Wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. I've heard this before. I've done this before. I've created this situation before. Or something just shorted out and doesn't make sense. And once you become suspicious of the reality, then I think, as you've said so many times, you follow the trail and find out it is, in fact, a shadow play.
There's a thing I used to talk about a lot called Chinese baseball. And it's supposedly a true story. The missionaries in the 1940s in China had, as missionaries are wont to do, they confused Americanity with Christianity. And so they had ordered the equipment for baseball that they could teach the Chinese how to play baseball. And in the intervening time period, they had the Chairman Mao and overtaking Chiang Kai-shek, and the communists took over. And so all of this baseball equipment was sent to this mission place in China. It was sat there. And then finally, when they had some freedom, they found all this equipment and they looked at it. And they set up all the bases properly. And they knew about the pitcher and the batter, and they had to hit the ball. But somehow in the translation of the English into Chinese, they had missed one little point. And when they hit the ball and the runner was running towards first base, the first baseman was able, he thought he was supposed to, pick up that base, the actual base, out of the ground and run with it to keep the batter who just made a hit from touching first base, because if he didn't touch first base and they got him first, then he was out. And so it was a zoo.
He was stealing first base.
The first baseman stole first base and ran with it, and the guy had to chase him all over the field. Well, again, it's a reality that we have been taught. And again, you cannot believe how powerful these things that we've been taught are from our instant awareness of self back in 18 months, whenever it happens. We've been taught Chinese baseball. We've been taught the wrong game. And so we think we have to do all these things as opposed to just rest in faith. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And so 99% of people who are Christians, and these people, by the way, these were Christians, but they were playing Chinese baseball. It's the same with you and I. We have been conditioned so totally, and we may have gotten everything almost right, but there's a few little things that we missed in translation. And so we believe that we have to do all of these things that are the engines of the world. We believe we have to better ourselves. We have to move continually and constantly towards self-realization. There's no possibility in our teaching as a child that would say, by one offering, I have been perfected forever. So the child is a constant, constant, constant move of comparing himself with others to see whether or not he measures up, and taking little pieces of other things that he sees and glopping them onto himself until he finally thinks he has an identity. And the way that you see whether you have an identity, a false identity, if you think you have to be right, if you haven't forgiven, if you have anxiety, if you have depression, then all of these things are finally glitches, as Harry said, in the system to make us know that we're playing the wrong game. But we don't respond that way when God puts obstacles in our path to see whether or not we'll stay on the mercy seat. We don't even know a mercy seat exists. So we from the earliest time in our childhood and from all of the things that our parents taught us about how to behave and what you should do and social mores, and we can't possibly think as a human being that this identity that is our real identity is always at peace, is always in a state of total grace, can sit comfortably on the mercy seat, because we've covered over that identity with this false being that we call ourselves. And so it takes an incredible amount of time to think. Who could think? I've said it a million times here in the last 35 years. By one offering, you've been perfected forever. Not one of you believe it. I've said a million times, it's finished. Nothing is left to do. And yet, the next day, how many times have I said, you never have to be right. You never take a stand on anything. And yet everybody takes a stand. And I want you to try to see that our life is complete without any effort on our part. And that's the takeaway. This is what I saw at my own conversion experience. I never again had to try to fix anything. It's over. It's done. All we need to do is rest in Him. But we've been taught Chinese baseball. So we can't possibly, our minds won't let us see that it's finished. You're perfect. You need nothing. You own all things. All things exist for your sake. Because we have been taught Chinese baseball. Can anybody, you understand that? So what are you, where are you seeing Chinese baseball today in your life? You got some problem? You got some issue? Something to do? Something that is taking you out of the rest? You got some anxiety about anything? Well, your real identity and your real inheritance is rest and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You make no provision for the flesh. You don't ever try to get anything. You never try to protect anything you have, because you are at the first source. You own all things. Everything has been perfected in His holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the entire world is Mount Zion in this mystery. It's the joy of the whole world, but we don't see it because we've been taught the wrong game. And so now everything takes us off the mercy seat because we never know the mercy seat existed. We never knew the real us was seated on the mercy seat. So we have to constantly fight and war within ourselves and justify ourselves. We have to seek what they seek. We have to fear what they fear. And we think we got to do stuff. No. By one offering, you've been perfected forever. The Lord is your shepherd. You need nothing. You own all things. All things exist so you can see this one mystery. And it's finished. Amen? Can you stop playing Chinese baseball? Can you stop molding your life after the things that you've learned about this world? Can you stop being prudent? Can you be careful for nothing? But in all things, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known of God, unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's nothing left. Can you apprehend that for a minute? And if you can't, then you're still playing the wrong game. If you think you have to be right about something, you're playing the wrong game. If anything makes you anxious, you're playing the wrong game. So that's the gospel. I don't have anything else to say. Probably don't ever have anything else ever to say. I can't add to that. You either believe it or you don't. You either live it or you don't. What?
I'm seeing wheat and chaff. It's like we believe in chaff until it appears as to what it is. And then we can abandon and repent of it. But when we get caught up in the peripheral stuff that's being blown away by the winds of time and spirit, that's why the shaking is important.
But all the shaking has already happened.
I know, but we're in the... How else do you see it? But through that...
You stop meeting, believing the lie.
How do you get to the point of stopping believing, except that it be revealed by this?
Well, think on these things.
For some reason, it kind of makes me think of those two poor whales that are sitting in that river.
There's some kind of an animal.
It is in the porch right here. It's.
I was sitting out here this morning, and I thought it was John up there trying to get out or something, but it's just scratching.
He comes down while you're talking sometimes.
And that, you know, he's trying to dig a way out. And that's all you're doing. And you're already out. So, in a way, you know you're, if you're ever nervous, if you're ever anxious, you know you're playing the wrong game. You say, Father, forgive me for that, playing this stupid game. Father, forgive me for trying to protect myself. Father, forgive me for trying to get something. Father, forgive me for responding to people in some weird way. Huh?
Oh. Get up, and I hear all the words, but the questions that Gary asking are the same questions that I'm asking, you know. I think what it comes down to is that I just don't remember to say, Father, forgive me. I can never get it that far down that chain of what do you do? Well, do this. What do you do? Well, do this. You know, I can never get it that far down.
Because you don't take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Because you enjoy the feeling of being right more than you do of being in Him.
Well, it wasn't. You asked what was going on. That's what's going on.
Well, because you think you've got to figure a way out.
Obviously not going to, so...
Well, you gotta know internally. Hear me. You can never ever be right.
Well, I don't guess I know that internally.
You can never ever trust your emotions. You can never ever trust your mind. You can never ever trust what these voices are telling you. We are not in this world. We are of a different order. It's so simple. But we're waiting for something else to happen. It's already finished. take it, big guy.